Genesis chapter 1. Turn there in your Bibles. Genesis chapter 1. And boy, I appreciate everybody praying for us while we were gone. The ship did not sink when I got on it. That was my first ever trip on a vessel like that. And I really, really enjoyed it. I like ships and boats anyway. That's kind of my thing. And that was my first time. It only took me 50 years to get on one. But we had a good time. And boy, it sure was hot down there. It really was. And but the Lord blessed us. And I'll tell you, while you turn into Genesis 1, I got to tell you this little story. And this really brought tears to my eyes. Caleb is the kind of young man, if there's kids his age that are strange to him, that only lasts about 5 seconds. He just dies right in with them, and boy, and so he just pretty much had the run of the whole upper deck of this ship. And I mean, there was all kinds of amusements up there, things you get on and swing on, and basketball and mini golf and things like that. And he'd do that for a while and then go down to the buffet and eat. And then come back up and play and then go down and eat. And come back up and go down and eat. And there's a young man that when we caught up with him one day, he was with a young man named DeAndre. And I asked DeAndre, where are you from? He said, from around the Atlanta area. And he just seemed to be a nice young man. He's probably 15, what'd you say, 16? He looks 14. But him and his little brother, and there he was with a group of some kids and some adults there that was on the ship. And he you know how some kids just kind of reach out and grab you. Well, he did. And there was one night, I wanted Caleb back at a certain time, and so I said, DeAndre, I said, will you help me out? He said, what? I said, would you make sure that Caleb is in our cabin at 10:45 tonight? He said, I'll do it. 10:45, Caleb comes walking through the door, and DeAndre's standing right behind him going, I brought him back, sir, and I like you. So the next morning was Sunday morning, and we're already at the port, and we're going to disembark here in a little bit. So we're eating breakfast, and DeAndre and his little brother was there. So I thought, well, I'm going to talk to him a little bit. And I pulled up a picture of that deer that I killed, and Caleb was with me. And so I said, did Caleb tell you that me and him killed a deer? And what was his brother's name?
BJ.
BJ said, why'd you kill a deer? And I went, well, it's deer season. The state of Missouri lets us kill them. And I said, he said, do you eat them? I said, yeah, they're good. How do you eat them? Well, I started explaining it. So we talked a little bit, you know, and I was just kind of kidding around with him. I said, you know, the deer live in the woods, right? Yeah. And I said, oh, I can tell you guys don't get out in the woods very much. And BJ said, we don't have a dad to take us to the woods. Yeah. And I tried to kind of cover over that. I said, well, you guys come up to Missouri and I'll take you out there. And I went and sat down, and I did this for about 15 minutes. So I'm going to ask you to pray for DeAndre and BJ. Okay? And I got DeAndre's email address, and I want to try to stay in touch with him. Okay? There are boys in this country that are raised without daddies. And it just made me thankful. My daddy raised me. I'm raising my boys. Just be thankful. Amen? So you pray for these two young men, all right? Pray that they would avoid the things that American society and culture can bring their way. Amen? Amen. All right. And I'm having... That's still buzzing a little bit, isn't it, John? This microphone... Okay, we're having some microphone problems, and I'm not sure what to do about it. But anyway, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. We're talking about the new creation. This is how God does it. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Notice 1, 2, 3, 4, signs, seasons, days, and years. Verse 15, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And what I had started this out with when I started this particular part of it was, we've had light since day one of creation. God said, watch this. Notice on day four, he creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. And he says they're for signs, season, days, and years. Go back to the earlier part of the chapter where God's going to create light and notice what he says. Count the words that he says there. And God said, let there be light. How many? Four. And there was light. Four more. Four Gospels. The light of your Bible is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? So now the light has a source. And this is how God reached you. This is how God dealt with you. God gave you the clarity of the Gospel, the simplicity of the Gospel. And it's not complicated. And anybody, whether they do it face-to-face, person-to-person, or they try to do it to you on the Internet, anybody who brings complication to the Gospel, you avoid them. Stay away from them. Don't get around them, because the Gospel is simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now, some people don't like that. They don't like it. They want to make it hard. There's more to it than that. Listen, if I'm hanging like this over a fiery hell and I'm about to let go and I say, help! It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that I need help. And I don't think that I have to tell firemen how to come and rescue me. I don't have to tell my doctor how to do surgery on me. Amen? They're the ones who know. When you cry out to the Lord, God automatically knows how to save you and how to help you. Amen. So anyway, he's making it simple. He's giving you the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice here, we're going to focus on this part. In verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Somebody tell me what those are. The greater light is the lesser light is the moon. Okay? Now I want you to think about this. Which is the more important of the two, the sun or the moon? Which is the more important? The sun is. Because where does the moon get her light? Sun. No sun, no moon. Okay? But and I want you to think about that. A greater light and a lesser light. Why did he make it that way? Well, obviously to rule over night and day and so on. But I want to give you a little bit of understanding. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hurry up. I'm surprised you're not there yet. What are you going to keep us all night here? You know, I didn't preach at all last week. Anywhere. I took some time off. I was glad to get the time off, but I'm ready to preach tonight. I'm ready to be here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now watch this. Think about night and day, the sun and the moon. You have two divisions in your Bible. One is called the Old Testament. The other one is called the... So I want you to think about it. Which part of your Bible, the Old or New Testament, which part would represent the sun, the greater light? Which part would represent the moon, the lesser light? Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth light. And he's contrasting the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament, written in Hebrew, Hebrew has no vowels for letters. They're implied, they're spoken, but they don't have written letters as vowels. It has no breath. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So which one would be the New Testament, sun or the moon? Sun. The Old Testament is the lesser light. Now watch this. Verse 7, but if the ministration of death, which he's referring to the Old Testament, written and engraven in stones, he's talking about the Ten Commandments, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? In other words, here's Moses, his face shining bright, but it went away. How much more the light of the New Testament is more glorious than the Old Testament? Verse 9, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Let me explain that to you. Okay? And no, I'm going to hold off for a minute. Okay? Because I got pictures. I want to show you the pictures. All right? Let's see here. Verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech and not as Moses. Did you ever consider that? What was Moses? When God called Moses to the fiery burning bush, and he said, Moses, I'm going to send you, and you're going to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. What was Moses, what was his reasoning why he couldn't go? He was a stutterer. Hard of speech. He has speech impediment. Okay? Why did God do that? God did that on purpose. God made it so that Moses was hard to understand. And if you think about it, do the Jews really understand the Old Testament? No, they don't. They don't. Now, they say they do. But I've studied a little bit of Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah, which most Jews, most practicing Jews, are in the Kabbalah. And it is the biggest mystery, secret, religion, doctrine that you have ever dealt with. And trying to understand Jewish mysticism is probably the most difficult thing that I have ever tried to study. It is hard to, because they speak in terms that are so far out there, you'll never get it. And they admit that. They said, oh, we can understand God. No, Paul said that we use great plainness of speech and not as Moses. Okay? So watch this. And not as Moses, verse 13, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now think about it. Who in here has ever tried to look at the sun? How long can you do it, Caleb? 5 seconds or less. Right? He uses the word steadfastly here. You cannot look steadfastly at that bright light. I've got a flashlight. One of those little LED lights. And boy, them things are bright, aren't they? I can shine that in somebody's eye and they're going, oh, stop immediately. That's what they do. That's what they were doing with Moses. And yet, you and I have received a light that shines way brighter than Moses. Okay? The children of Israel could not look steadfastly to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And let me run this by you. Who in here has ever looked at the sun for as long as you could and then looked away? What happens when you look away, Jared? You can't see diddly. You're going. But eventually, what happens to that blindness? Israel's blindness is going to go away one of these days. Amen. Amen. All right. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And I'm wanting to chase a rabbit here, and I think I'm going to go ahead and do it. Okay? Because I have studied a little bit about the Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism. And here's what's interesting. Remember, we're dealing with this number right here. Okay? Let there be light. And there was light. The signs, seasons, days, and years. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What's interesting is that the Jewish rabbis have developed a system of studying the Old Testament. And they say that when we Jews study the Old Testament, there's four levels of understanding. Isn't that interesting? And I can't remember what they're all are, but the first level is you just read the text and it means what it says. Okay, that's the first level. The second level is you read the text and you start getting little glimpses of hidden meanings in there. The third layer is your understanding that when Moses has two tablets in his hand, that those two tablets mean something entirely different. Here's what's interesting. The fourth level of understanding almost doesn't require even reading the text. It's almost like you get a feeling of what it would represent. Now, let me tell you something about your feelings and your imaginations. They'll lie to you every single time. And the Jewish rabbis have basically put all of their eggs in that fourth layer basket, saying that the real Torah and the understanding of it would never actually come from the language itself. Believe it or not, Brother George, when the Jews look at a scroll that has the Hebrew writing on it, they call it the white fire and the black fire. The black fire is the black ink letters that are on the page. You know what the white fire is? The white spaces of the paper between the letters. There's even a rule for these Hebrew scrolls that the letters have to be far enough apart to where you can see a white edge around every letter. And they teach, get this, that there is a far deeper understanding that comes from the white fire than you would ever get from the black fire. Which means they look at a blank piece of paper and say, that's where God really is. You know what that is? Spiritual drunkenness. Only drunks would look at a plain sheet of paper and say, oh, I get this. I understand what it means. Okay? But they are so far out there, it's because God has rolled a veil over the Old Testament. And when they read it, they never understand it. And they won't. One of these days, that veil is going to be lifted. And boy, they are in for a surprise, because it won't be Moses under that veil. Amen, John? I like it when I get an amen from the man upstairs up here, okay? It's going to be Jesus, their Messiah. Boy, I like that. So, we're understanding here, Paul's teaching this, and he's telling you, we have an Old Testament, and when Moses came down with the law in his hands, his face was shining just massively, and they couldn't behold him. They said, Moses, put a veil over your face. And Paul's saying, our New Testament far exceeds that in glory. We have, and we follow, the greater light. Take your Bible, turn back to Exodus 34. Let's read this. Boy, I like this. Exodus 34, hurry up, verse 29. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not means that he was wise. The word wist is a wise word. He did not know, is what it means. He did not know, he wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them. And you know what? Somebody do me a favor. Who can look up for me when Moses was on Mount Sinai and he came down, I think the first time or the second time, something like that. There was others up there with him. You know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know? I was going to look at this earlier. I just got a hunch here, and I don't want to say what it is in case I'm wrong. But can somebody find out who was it that was with Moses when he was on Mount Sinai? All right? So anyway, and I'll continue with this. When you get the answer, raise your hand. All right? But anyway, verse 31. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. Verse 33, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. In other words, Moses comes down from Mount Sinai. His face is shining so bright when the Israelites, and think about this. Think about how like crazy this is. Moses been up there 40 days. He comes down. They're looking at him. It looks like the sun is coming down on Mount Sinai. And as Moses begins to relay to the people what God said from Mount Sinai, they had Moses put a veil over his face. And they say, Moses, we can't look at you while you're talking. And that's what Paul was getting at. He said the symbolism of that means that they do not understand what Moses was talking about. They can't see the end or the future of where that's leading. Verse 34, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. All right? So that's what Paul was referring to, is this story right here. Now, turn to Matthew 17. Are you finding it, bub? You're looking. All right, keep looking. Raise your hand, because I have a hunch here, and I don't want to say anything yet, but when you find out who was with Moses there, let me know. Matthew 17, turn your Bibles there. And this is one of the beauties of how your Bible is laid out. And I just kind of clued into this, you know, not too long ago. But I started noticing that wherever there was something in the Old Testament that seemed to be incomplete, the New Testament completes it. I'll give you an example. In the Old Testament, you have the first Adam. You have Eve, who the tempter tempted her three times, and she sinned, and she caused her husband to sin. Does that make sense? Eve ate the fruit first. She gave to her husband, and he did eat. And so the tempter deceived. They both fell into transgression. Move forward to the New Testament. Now you don't have the woman, you have Jesus, the second Adam. The same tempter tempts Jesus three times. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Only this time, Jesus succeeds in withstanding the wiles of the devil where Eve and Adam failed. Now get this. Now that Jesus has succeeded, think about it. The woman, Eve, fell. She partook of that fruit and sinned and then caused her husband to fall into transgression. Now the New Testament. Jesus, the husband, is the one who is tempted. He succeeds where they both failed. And because of his righteousness, he gives to the woman, his wife, which is us, his righteousness. Somebody say, do you get that? Eve fell, gave her transgression to Adam. Adam fell into the transgression. New Testament, Jesus the righteous succeeds, and then he has his wife, his bride, us, the church, participate in his righteousness. Isn't that sweet? You find, listen, if you'll study that Bible, you'll see stuff like that all the time, where it's incomplete or a failure in the Old Testament. It is complete in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 17. Yes, sir.
Look at Exodus 19:24.
Who is it? Just give me the names. Who was up there?
God was Aaron.
Aaron?
It said, the Lord said unto him, make it
down. Joshua and Aaron and Moses, right? Okay. Okay. I ain't going to tell you my theory then. So Nadab, Abihu, Aaron, and Joshua. All right. I ain't going to tell you my theory. Anyway, Matthew 17, 1. Huh? All right. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them to a high mountain apart. How many people are on this mountain? How many people are on this mountain? Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Four. And every place in the Bible where you see four things, one of them's different than the other three. Who is different here? Jesus is. Look at it. Bringeth them to a high mountain apart, verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. Think about it. The lesser light was Moses. The greater light is Jesus in the New Testament. Okay? Man, I like this stuff. And his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Wow. Now I want to show you something. When Moses is on Mount Sinai and God speaks, the people of Israel said, God, stop talking. We can't take it. Now that Jesus in the New Testament is on the mountain and God speaks again, Peter, James, and John are up there and they're not asking God to be quiet. Now, because of Jesus, they can receive the words of God and it's not going to kill them. Amen. It doesn't bring... Listen to me. Under the law is condemnation, and when God speaks His law to us, it makes our knees buckle because we know we are guilty and we're going to suffer the eternal consequences for it. That's why there was fear. Now that Christ is doing this, when God speaks, we're not afraid anymore. Amen. And that's sweet. I could do this stuff all night. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Revelation 1, verse 16. John sees Jesus. And he said, he had his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now watch this. Okay? Moses goes to Mount Sinai, his face glows, he comes down, and for a while, Moses has to put a veil over his face, but it doesn't last. Jesus goes to the Mount of Transfiguration, his face shines as the sun. And some 60 years later, when John sees Jesus, his face is still shining like the sun. It didn't go away. Amen? In the Old Testament, the brightness diminished. In the New Testament, the brightness remains for all everlasting. Somebody say amen. I like this stuff. Now watch this. Remember, Peter is there. Peter and James and John is there when God says, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Let me do something. 14. 7 times 2. Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's 3 minutes after 8. I'm not in a hurry. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 17. Look at what it says. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. This is Peter talking. Peter was there on the mountain of transfiguration. He heard the voice. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, I'm going to give you something that I just kind of thought of this afternoon, and I like it. I'm going to run it by you to see if you think it fits. All right? Now, remember, we're talking about the two lights, the greater light and the lesser light. Think about the sun. Think about the moon, all right? Think about the moon being full, that we've got almost a full moon out there now. Boy, that thing is huge, all right? In a full moon, when you're out at night in a full moon, you can kind of see to get around, can't you? Okay? It's not the greatest light in the world, but it does help. Amen? But then we know that there is a greater light. It's the sun. When the sun comes out, we don't have a problem seeing where we're going. Does everybody understand that? Now, there's all these, and there's multitude of comparisons that you can make with this. We have Moses and we have Jesus, both of whom face is shining bright, but Jesus obviously shining brighter than Moses. What I'm showing you here is, I don't have a problem with you reading the Old Testament. Amen? It's good. But just as the moon gets its light from the sun, the Old Testament must get its light from the New Testament. When you read the New Testament, and then you go back and read the law, you get it. You get it. When you go read Hebrews, Hebrews is all about shining light on the law, showing you the types and the symbols and the allegories and all of the shadows of things to come. So now watch this. I'm going to make this application here. Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus' face shine like the sun, and he heard God's voice. And Peter went around telling everybody, I heard God's voice. I'm telling you, I heard God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But then Peter says, but we actually have something that's better than me telling you what God said. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto that you do well, that you take heed as unto a what? A light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Now watch this. The lesser light here is Peter's testimony, my testimony, and your testimony. Who in here has got a great story to tell about what Jesus has done for you? Rhonda, you were sharing blessings with me before church. Man, I like that. God's been good to her and her husband. And she just came in smiling from ear to ear. She said, I got to tell you what God's done for us. It was great. And see, I don't have a problem with you telling people about what Jesus has done for you. Peter went around telling everybody, I heard God's voice. God said, this is my beloved Son. And I'm telling you, I heard God's voice, and I'm telling you, it's true. That is the lesser light. There is a greater light. It's your Bible. The lesser light is me standing up here telling you what I think about the Bible. It's a light, but it's a lesser light. The greater light is what the Bible actually says. Now think about it, Wayne. We have way too many preachers who've turned this thing upside down to where the preacher and his words become the greater light and the words of the Bible are the lesser light. Especially when they only read one verse and then for the next 45 minutes you hear preacher words. Or when the preacher says, well, here's what your Bible says, but originally in the original languages, which you don't know, what it really says is this. What they have done is they have flipped upside down the two lights. The preacher then becomes the greater light and the Bible becomes the lesser light. I don't go for that anymore. I used to be that way and God chastised that out of me. I'm going to preach to you and I'm going to tell you what I think. But always understand that that's the moon. And the moon can only get its light from the sun, the greater light. Okay? So if I'm in this book, and I'm studying this book, and I'm learning this book, and I'm knowing this book, and I can preach on one thing and then chase rabbits all through the Bible and give you all these verses out of that stuff, that is the lesser light receiving from the greater light. Okay? But your responsibility is after the night is over with, open this Bible up and let the day star arise, the sun, and let the greater light shine on you and in you and to you and through you. That's your responsibility. Don't, folks, you people online, you people sitting here, don't turn me in your mind into the greater light. God will whip both of us. Amen? You know what I used to do? Years ago, when I would buy prophecy books, I was guilty of this. I was bad about it. I'd buy these prophecy books, and I would read what the author said, and any time they came to Scripture, I'd skip over that because I'd say, I already know what that says. And I was more interested in what the author said than what the Bible said. I had, in my mind, I had switched the lights. And I was more interested in the lesser light than I was the greater light. And then God turned that around in my mind. And when somebody hands me a book and it says, man, have you ever read this book? No. Well, take a look at it. First thing I'm going to do, all Scripture is given out of the King James Version of the Bible. Okay, that's good. And what I'll do is I'll skip what the guy said. I just want to see what verses he used. I can read the Bible. Because it matters less to me now what man says, and it matters more to me what God says. What's good? That's good, isn't it? I didn't come up with that on my own. The light shines to me, and I'm going to give it out to you. Let me do this. Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Look at that. If Christ, now watch this. Christ is the greater light. We here on the earth, we are the light. We're a lesser light. The husband does not give all of his glory to the wife. The wife honors the husband. Amen? You say, I don't like that. Well, let me ask you, ladies, what is your last name? So I said, what's your last name?
His last name.
Yeah, ain't the name you were born with, was it? No. And see, that's biblical. Go to Genesis chapter 5. God called their name Adam. This is Adam and Mrs. Adam. Okay? The greater light shines to the lesser light. The lesser light is to the church. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He hath ears to hear, let him hear. Revelation 12, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with what? The sun. She is clothed with the sun. Christ has adorned her with his glory. Isn't it sweet? She's just like the moon who shines forth light, which is the reflection of the true light. My goal in life is to be an adequate reflection of the true light, the Word of God. That's what I want in my life. That's what I want in my marriage. I want that in my home and in my family. I want it for my children. I want it for my grandchildren. I want it for this church here. I want it for that church there on the internet. That's what I want more than anything, is that I want my life, my teaching, my attitudes, my character, everything about me, I want it to be an adequate reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, typical of the moon, I personally have times where I shine that light greater on some days than I do others. Because the moon waxes and wanes. Doesn't it wane?
Amen.
The moon wanes. Okay? Typical of me, I have times where I don't shine very well. You may not be able to see it, but I know it. But then there are times when God just shines through me. And I like it. But it fades away. But it'll come back. Y'all think about that. Y'all ponder that. By the way, but what does she have under her feet? The moon. Anytime you have something under your feet, that shows dominion. So let's take this and apply this now, and then I'll let you go. The New Testament, the greater light. What is she clothed with? The sun, the greater light, the New Testament. The law had dominion over us, right? The law has dominion over us as long as the person lives. When we die and escape this world, the law no longer has dominion over us. We now have dominion over it.
Amen.
How many toes do you have?
Ten.
Isn't that cute?
Amen?
Amen. I don't know if I should say this. Ladies, the moon, get that? God's going to give you dominion over it one of these days. All you ladies are going, woo! Glory. Amen. I'll put it up on the screen. Y'all see that? Now watch this. Right now, all that Israel has is the Old Testament. They have a light, but it's nothing compared to the light that's going to shine to them when the day dawns and the day star arises. Because y'all know what happens. Right there at dawn, you're sitting out on the deer stand, Wayne, and you're waiting for that sun to come up because you're freezing. And you're looking at all those stars, Jared, and you're just sitting there bawling your eyes out on a deer stand because you're seeing the glory of God in those stars.
Amen.
But then that sun pops out. What happened to all those stars? What happened to that moon? Oh, it's still there. You just can't see it anymore. Because the greater light has overruled the lesser light. And all you folks in the internet land and all anybody listening to me, don't let these bozos on the internet try to con you back into going back to the Old Testament to keep it. You're traveling back into the darkness and the lesser light. I want the greater light. Somebody say amen. Stand to your feet or I'll keep y'all all night.